And he is one of the few men of God that, by the grace of God, in all humility, I visit his platforms and to speak the word of God. Amen. Because I believe in the calling upon his life. Amen. Now, if you are here tonight with any sort of burden, with any request on your heart, I want you to understand that you don't have to wait for me. Amen. The Spirit of God is present. So the Spirit of God is here to minister to everybody. When I mean everybody, I mean everybody. The ministers that are here, I would like to honor you. I know the man of God has done that. I would like to honor you and thank you for staying in this room with us and with me to listen to the word that God has for us tonight. Amen. Now, I want to speak about something that is supernatural. Again, one of the things that God tried to do with me is that he, through the many little things that are not so profound to many people, make them profound, because the things of God that are so profound does not normally come to us as profound, as especially in this age of charismatism, in this age of power, in this age of divine encounters and supernatural encounters. And I believe that many that came here have a certain kind of expectation, but there will be a transformation from the places where you least expect, and your life will never be the same. That one I can promise you, that your life will never be the same. There was a young man on this platform called Wisdom when I entered. I can't see him around, but there is a call to the apostolic ministry. Wisdom, there is a call to the apostolic ministry. When I entered, he was here. I don't think he's here anymore. I'm trying to go through. There is a strong call to the apostolic ministry. If any of you know him from the beginning, you can tell him that there is a word in season for him, and it has already gone ahead of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Okay. So last week we spoke about the mercy of God. Somebody say, Lord, show me mercy tonight and help me understand your knowledge, your revelation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and say, God, show me mercy tonight. Show me mercy tonight, son of David. Show me I want to hear you say, show me mercy tonight in the name of Jesus. Yes, open your mouth and say, Lord, show me mercy, show me mercy, show me mercy. Hallelujah. Lord, show me mercy tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I count on your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The difference maker between David and Saul was that God had mercy on one. The Bible says that God said that my covenant of mercy I will not take from you, and I will keep with your son. That means that when David ascended the throne, the covenant of mercy was laid there. The Bible says that mercy triumph over judgment. So when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, you see that it is the mercy seat that sits on top of the law that is placed in there, and the rod that is placed in there, everything that is placed in there. And then you have the two cherubs that by the mercy seat are kneeling down and are praying. So through our prayers, we obtain mercy. This is why the word of God said we should come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy. Hallelujah. When you obtain mercy from God, every form of judgment that is able to speak against you is suspended because of mercy. May you obtain mercy tonight. May you obtain mercy tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but it's not about your prayer. It is not about your holiness. It is not about your knowledge, your theological knowledge of the scriptures. It is none of that. It is about the mercies of God. It is not about your abilities or inabilities. It is about the mercies of God. And tonight, I want to commend the mercies of God to you. I said, receive the mercies of God. Somebody shout, I receive mercy, and shout, glory!
I receive
mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, look at something very important here.
Amen.
both David and Saul receive an anointing upon their head, but when one messed up, God took the throne from him. But when the other messed up, he was sustained. The difference factor and what makes it supernatural is mercy. So I want you to understand that mercy is greater than the anointing that falls upon your head. There are people there are people that possibly did certain things that were even worse than what you did, what you went through, but the truth was that God showed them mercy. God showed them mercy. They found mercy in the sight of God. You had anointing upon your head, but mercy was not shown. You couldn't find mercy. And there are people that obtain mercy. The Bible, God said that before these two sons, Esau and Jacob, before they have done anything good or bad, he said that Jacob have loved, Esau have hated. Now I want you to, in tonight, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, I want you to for a moment sit down and say to God, that supernatural gracious mercy that you give to people, God, show me that mercy tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, make it the difference factor between me and my people, this generation that I'm in. Lord, show me mercy. And this generation needs the mercies of God more than anything. Somebody say, God, show me mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. I need it. It is what makes the difference. It is not the anointing. Let me tell you, there are some people, they are highly anointed than most men of God that you can hear out there that are speaking. I'm telling you, most men of God that maybe have a certain kind of fame, there are men that are actually highly anointed, but they are not necessarily exposed, because the time and season, mercy has found those that are at the moment are seen out there. Hallelujah. Don't lie to yourself about feeling so special about something. He says that we should come into his presence boldly, so we may obtain mercy. He has called us, he has anointed us, he has commissioned us, but coming into his presence, it is mercy that we obtain. We have a mercy seat. We do not have an highly anointed seat. We have a mercy seat that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, sit upon. Hallelujah. We have a mercy seat. Somebody say, we have a mercy seat. You have to be preaching with me, because the word must enter. Somebody say, the word must enter. Shabadu kadili miya talaba. We have a mercy seat.
The word must enter.
Yes, we have a mercy seat that God has given to us. We have a mercy seat that the King of Kings sit on. Hallelujah. And the mystery about this mercy seat is that it is the wisdom of God at work. It is the wisdom of God at work. Tonight, the supernatural thing about God I want to speak about is the wisdom of God at work. Somebody say, the wisdom of God at work.
The wisdom of God at work.
Yes. In Ephesians chapter 3, listen carefully to me. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, the Bible says that his intent was that now through the church, and whenever we speak of the church, I'm speaking about you, and I want you to personify it and make it an individual appointment. He says that now through the church, Ephesians 3, 10 to 15, take your pens, take your notebook. Something is happening here tonight on this platform. Already I can feel it. He says that his intent was that now through the church, there is an intent. Somebody say, there is an intent. There is a divine intent from God. That means that pre-creation, pre-manifestation of anything, there is an intent. Intents are born before manifestation. Intent is what a person conceives before he goes ahead to do what he wants to do. So I have an intent. Those of you who like to cook, I have an intent. My intent is my intentions, and these intentions is that I want to cook watch jollof, whatever it is that I want to cook. It is the intent that determines what is manifested, and the intent that you have would have to be crafted by wisdom. So the intention that you've had that tonight you want to eat wache will not just happen, but through your craftiness of knowing how to cook, that skillfulness, wisdom at work is what will produce the wache. So God had an intent. He says that his intent was that now. His intent was that now. That means that whatever intent that God had, which was in ages past, I use the term ages past present because God does not live in the time of the past. The time of the past only applies to us when God is making reference within the realm of man. Within the realm of man, we have the past, present, and future. In the realm of God, he is ever present. There is no past with him. You can't attend God's past because he's ever present. He is timeless, so there is no past, present, future with God. It is when he enters into the domain of his creation, then in order for them to observe certain dimensions of God, then the phenomena of time is enacted, and in that phenomena we begin to see that okay, there was a time in eternity where God did this, did that, but to God he's ever present. Hallelujah. So when I'm speaking of time past, it meant that in eternity, God's ultimate intent for the now is your observation. So anybody that is listening to me, I am speaking of the now. I'm not speaking of something God spoke about that we want to take hold of. If you are listening carefully to me, I'm not speaking of something that God spoke about that we now want to take hold of. I'm speaking of God in his present moment of doing something for you. The Bible says that he is our present help in time of need. It is not a past help. It is not a future help. It is not a help that we want to go and bring to us now. He is our ever-present help in time of need. In fact, God's time dimension is present. God's time dimension is he is always present. It is just us who seems to in our limited capacity of understanding and in dimensions, realms, spheres that we live in, we have the attribute of time. But when it comes to God, he's ever present. He's timeless. He's ever present. I repeat again. So he's speaking to you in the now. He says that in this now that I'm speaking to you, whoever is listening to me, Apostle, you are listening to me. Rejoice, Erabna, you are listening to me. Light, you are listening to me. Matthias, you are listening to me. Israel, you are listening to me. In this present, in this now, he says now, through the church, the seed of the church was one. The seed of the church was never many. The seed of the church was one. It was Jesus Christ. He said that unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, grain, he doesn't say grains. The seed of the church is one. So anytime I'm speaking to you concerning the church, you know that with you, God is speaking to you. You are the church. So personify it, make it something that is to you. He said that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies. Now, this scripture is extremely so profound and supernatural in its statement that when God is speaking, he's saying that the profound manifold wisdom, the word manifold wisdom, it is the folded up wisdom of God in mystery. That means that it has not been revealed. So I want to use a cloth where I can let's say fold the cloth into multiple folds, but when I open the cloth that I folded, it is probably a trouser. But before, if you see just a little bit of it, you might not think that is a trouser, but it's folded. But when it is unfolded, then we can see the totality of what was created or what it is made up of. The Bible says that there is what we call the manifold wisdom of God. That means that the wisdom of God is in manifold dimensions, and it does not only form, I only use the trousers as an example, it does not only form trousers, it forms a person with a call maybe Israel, it forms a person called Jessica, it forms a person called Siram. The manifold wisdom of God enters into your life and it becomes something called destiny that God is calling a person to. The manifold wisdom of God is able to function like a destiny navigation system where it directs a person around. Somebody say the manifold wisdom of God. Say the manifold wisdom of God.
The manifold wisdom of God.
Open your mouth and say the manifold wisdom of God.
The
Yes, so the manifold wisdom of God, he said that it should be made known. This now that I'm talking about, if you didn't know, I've come to announce to you that God wants you to manifest his manifold wisdom and let it be made known, not to your enemy who is flesh. This thing really bothers me. Now, the dimension that God wants to call the manifestation of the wisdom that he has embedded in you is even not so that the person you think is an enemy, it's not even that person that God is concerned about. God is looking at a higher dimension of manifestation. He says that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known unto the authorities in the heavenly realms. Now here, these people are accepted or are recognized as authorities. They are not recognized as any spirit or beings that do not have jurisdictions of operation. They said God is saying that they are authorities in the heavenly realm. He says that in the 11, he says, if you want to know the scripture, I repeat again, it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. And the 11 says that according to his eternal purpose that he had accomplished in Christ Jesus. Now, I like this because here, the manifold wisdom of God is accomplished in Christ Jesus. He is the totality and the embodiment of the manifold wisdom of God. So when I was speaking of the trousers, it wasn't when you open the manifold wisdom of God, what you should produce is something that is Christ-like. Hallelujah. So every form of manifold wisdom of God that is at work, that should be made manifest, should come out looking Christ-like. And 12 says that, it says in him through faith, that means that you through faith in Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask therefore, do not be discouraged, because the sufferings for you, which are your glory, there is glory in your suffering. The manifold wisdom of God. I want to speak about the manifold wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, which is his supernatural thing, that in its manifestation, it is the nature of Christ, it's the power of Christ, it is everything. It is the mystery of God. It is embedded in Christ. It is the manifold wisdom of God. It is the manifold wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? Look, let me tell you one thing. One common thing that a lot of Christians, if you do it, pardon me, forgive me, I'm not saying that maybe you are, but one key thing that a lot of Christians do not do, especially in this day and age, tell me how many prayer meetings you attend where people are serious about the fact that they want God to give them wisdom for this generation. Apart from the fact that they want God to give them wife, they want God to give them cars, they want God to give them good life, they want God to give them this, that, they want God to give. Tell me, and don't get me wrong, those things he said, he knows that you have need of them. We are not saying that they are not good things, but tell me a church where you went, where the people were so concerned that for 7 good days, all that they were asking God for is that, God, give us the manifold wisdom of God. Give us your wisdom. Teach us, give us your wisdom. According to the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7, he says that the beginning of wisdom is get skillfully and godly wisdom. He says that it is preeminent. That means that whenever I stand in the presence of God to ask for anything supernatural, the preeminent virtue that I should receive from God is the first is the wisdom of God, not marriage, not clothes, not traveling, not those things. I'm not saying they are not good. Don't get me wrong. I am here to position you in a place where these things will not become things that you want to weep 24 hours to the Father for, but I want you to have the preeminent thing that would make the difference between you and Saul. The preeminent thing, and that is wisdom. And he said, with all your acquiring, he says, get understanding. The charismatic church of today, in their encounter with what they will call supernatural, is a supernatural encounter without the wisdom of God. And any supernatural encounter without the wisdom of God is divination. I repeat, any supernatural encounter without the wisdom of God is divination. Why? Because you and I read right now in Ephesians that the manifold wisdom of God is completed in Christ, is accomplished in Christ. So anytime you see that there is an encounter which does not manifest the essence of Christ, it is not in accomplishment of the will of the Father. It does not end in the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that everything that is created, made, manifested, that is in action, should be accomplished in Christ. Christ is the one, he said that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God must be pleased. If God is not pleased, I'm telling you, every form of supernatural encounter that you will have that does not merit the purposes of God being fulfilled, where Christ is revealed, if you are listening to me tonight, is divination. And it does not come from God. Somebody say the wisdom of God.
The wisdom of God.
The wisdom
I said,
God.
Somebody say the wisdom of God.
The wisdom of God.
The wisdom of God.
I promise you tonight, your life will change. Your Christian life will change. You would have a supernatural encounter. Your inside, wisdom would take a hold of your inside and bring you out. Wisdom is not common sense. This generation, oh my God, this generation, wisdom is not common sense. Wisdom is strange. Wisdom is very supernatural. The Bible says that if the princes of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. But the wisdom of God embedded the King of Glory in a place where he was foolishness to the rulers of this world, that what should not be touched, they touched, and it manifested the greatest thing for us as human being. The wisdom of God. You don't want common sense. Common sense has disabled a lot of potentials in the kingdom of God. People today learn common sense from social media gatherings. Social media gatherings is where people are educated concerning marital destinies. Social media gatherings is where people like come sit and they judge the life of a person, the life of like they sit down, and this generation judges things that the so-called gods or the so-called fallen angels would not even dare judge, because to them it is common wisdom. No, the grace of God that imparts wisdom is not common. That wisdom is not common. The wisdom that God gave to Solomon was not a common wisdom. It is the wisdom that came after thousands of sheep have been slaughtered. It is not common. It is a valuable wisdom. When we speak of the wisdom of God, we are not talking about common sense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are not speaking of common sense. Common sense is not the wisdom of God we are speaking about now. We are speaking about that strange sense that is acquired spiritually from God. It rests upon a person. It transforms his life. His ways are past finding. The way that person does his things are not common. The way he does his things are in opposite direction to the many things that a lot of people would do. It changes you, the wisdom of God. Tonight, I will provoke you to pray a prayer that you've never prayed before. Tonight, I would want you to look at the ministry that you say that God has given you. I would want you to look at it again through the lens of the wisdom of God. Why? Because the Bible clearly says that 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 22, he says that, this is what he says. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd, illogical to those that are perishing and spiritually dead because they reject it. But to us that are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God and his wisdom. For it is written and forever remains written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the cleverness of the clever. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater? Today, if you open your TikTok, it is the number one debatable platform in this world. Go on TikTok. All sort of foolish things are debated, and they are done, they are not done by unbelievers. Surprisingly, they are done by Christians, because they have common sense to judge the things of men, because they have common sense to judge the things of man, they have common sense to judge the things of God. To them, they have common sense. And that is where Christians today also want to learn their wisdom from. Common sense is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is very strange. It's very, very strange, beloved. This is how the wisdom of God is. James 3:17 says that, for the wisdom of God, which is from God, from above, is first of all pure. Spiritually, it is undefiled. That common sense that they gave you was defiled. Oh, do this way. When the man comes, you have him in the trap. Do this way, you have this sister in the trap, and then we will do this to her. Do this way, that is defiled wisdom. God says that it is peaceful, considerate, gentle, reasonable, full of compassion, good for, it's unwavering, without self-righteousness. Self, like the level of self-righteousness. Oh my goodness. May God deliver this generation. If you are listening to me, your supernatural encounter is tonight, because a certain dimension of wisdom will fall upon you. God encountered Solomon, and he's asking Solomon, what do you want? I'm provoked to give you whatever you want to ask me. And it was the wisdom of God itself again that gave Solomon a device. He says that, give me a discerning heart that I may rule these people. Give me wisdom. And God was amazed, because I know for some major so-called prophet, for some major so-called apostle, give me that power that when I lift my finger, kada, 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 countless number of people will fall. Give me that power that when I speak, nobody can turn it. Give me that power. I mean, this is within the domain of pastors, but when it comes to the domain of some of you women, men, Lord, I want to marry this man. Do you not know that man can die? Do you know that man can force? Do you know that man can? Is that the only thing you want to ask from God? You are having a supernatural encounter. It would refine the light of God that lives in you. This is Light Bearers Network. It will refine the light of God that lives in you, and you will pray right, you will seek right, and God will not be far away from you. Immediately Solomon said that, God, give me wisdom. God said that, oh Solomon, tonight you have outwitted the enemy. For you did not ask for the life of your enemies. You did not ask for wealth. You did not ask for this. Did not ask for that. You, for this that you've asked for, I will give you, and I will add to it. So wisdom becomes an attractor of addition. Wisdom is an attractor. It is a defense. It would bring in more. God said that because of wisdom, I will add. In the divine intent and purposes of God, whenever there is a manifestation of wisdom within a person, God adds to that person. This is why a lady called Abigail, whose husband spoke so foolishly, through wisdom can speak to the heart of a king. And when the husband died, God replaced that husband. And that's wisdom at work. That is not makeups. That's not slave queen's work at work. That is wisdom at work. I said that is wisdom at work. The wisdom of God is very strange. Look, if you are not careful in dealing with the wisdom of God, you will fight against the wisdom of God, but it is that same wisdom that will save you. So every person that wants to come under the unction of the wisdom of God must possess a great amount of wanting to be humble, humility, must possess a great amount of tenacity, because the wisdom of God will take you through trials. because whatever the wisdom of God would bring out, it is eternal. So the Ephesians said that now, in the now, there is a wisdom of God at work where your destiny must be revealed. Look, everybody in Christ has a destiny that must be made manifest. Don't get me wrong again. Forget about the prophetic word that you have received. Let me tell you this. Prophetic word without the wisdom of God will not come to pass. I tell you this tonight. Listen very carefully to me. Every prophetic word that you have received without the wisdom of God will not come to pass. This is why most people do not end their receipt. When they are receiving prophetic word, they don't end there. They go on to the minister of God and ask, give me direction. This is why they go further to ask for direction. And you know one thing, in every prophetic direction, or whenever there's a prophetic word concerning your destiny, and you ask God for, you ask further that I need direction, I need to be counseled so that this words can be fulfilled, the wise ones that pursue this cause. Let me tell you one thing. When they go, the instructions that are given are wisdom from God, but they are foolishness in the domain of men. Obeko, when you go, the man of God will tell you, do not go and fight the person that is insulting you. So, man of God, what can I do? Well, this guy there is a small, but this woman, she's a, many women are always fighting. This girl, I can just smoke her one time. I can do this, I can do this, or this woman, I can do this to her. The man of God will say, don't. Get into your secret place. And even just give praise for 7 good days. That was the instruction the man of God gave you. It is not the wisdom of this earth. It is not the wisdom that go and chase that woman for revenge. But it is the wisdom of God. He came. The servant advised that there is a prophet in Israel who can help with your leprosy. Go and bathe by the Jordan. The wisdom of men say that there are better rivers. The wisdom of men say that there are better rivers. But the wisdom of God said, go and bathe in that river. The wisdom of God is so strange. It will raise the very deliverer that would confront a 1,000-year dynasty with from that same corridors of that dynasty. Or kingship or monarch, and raise a deliverer that would rise to contend or challenge that dynasty. Put him at their table, called Moses. First of all, the wisdom of God is so strange that it will put him on the river. How does a river Nile flowing, how does a mother get such kind of wisdom to say that, let me put him on in a basket and push him? You were told, whilst your other women were trying to attract men with slain and all sort of promiscuous life, you were told that wear your scarf, take your Bible, fast, preserve yourself, for there is a day of revealing. But no, others were wearing the highest heel they can find on the market, getting the best makeups they can get on the market, doing all sort of skillful things they can get to attract men on the market. But no, yours was not like that. But in the end, you came through. The wisdom of God has not stopped looking like it is foolishness unto men. Even now that I'm speaking to most people that are looking for supernatural encounter, this might not be a supernatural encounter for them. Why? Because the wisdom of God is always foolishness unto those who would reject, or those that are perishing. But may none on this platform perish tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say that, may I receive the wisdom of God in the name of Jesus.
May I receive the wisdom of God in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then it takes a little boy, like a little baby, it takes him, put him on the Nile, and takes him into the house of Pharaoh. This is the wisdom of God at work. Watch this. It takes him there, into the bosom of the daughter, and he gets raised as a sibling in the house, eating from their table, eating from food sacrificed to idols, yet he was still intact and not defiled. This is the wisdom of God at work. Maybe you are a servant now, but I want to tell you that you are a deliverer in this generation. The time is coming, God will raise you. I didn't hear somebody say amen. I said that maybe, yes, glory. Maybe now you are a servant. We say Ghana boy, maybe now you are looked down upon. Maybe now you are not. There is somebody here with a political appointment, even as I'm speaking here. May that manifestation hit you like a heavy thing. As I'm speaking, you see that something, a hand would touch you in the name of Jesus. If you have that experience, put it on the thing and I'll pray for you. Listen very carefully to me. Maybe now you are despised. Maybe now you've been rejected several times. Maybe now you've failed several times, but you are still a deliverer.
Amen.
You are still that deliverer that God is raising through his manifold wisdom, because the manifold wisdom is folded up. It is unseen. The Bible says that it was the mystery of all godliness, and it was hidden from the rulers of this world. And he has not stopped doing that. He has not stopped here. Look, everything you want to do, you want to expose it. You want people to see you are there. You want people to see you are powerful. No, that's not how the wisdom of God works. Beloved, I tell you a mystery tonight. That is not how the wisdom of God works. The wisdom of God is so sober. It always takes upon himself the structures of victory. How God let go every form of glory and took upon himself the nature of man and that of a servant, that he might pass through death, and through that might break the power of the one that had power over death. This structure of humility, being humiliated, has not changed. And the Bible says that when he had gone through this, a name that was above all name was given to him. Let me tell you this. If Jesus said that carry your cross and follow him, there's nobody that will follow Jesus that will not go through these stages of manifestation of glory. Part of the stages of the manifestation of glory is embedded in it your season of shamefulness. And these things that we talk about is the wisdom of God. So Moses was taken into the house of Pharaoh. But when he grew up, God says that I'm about to have an encounter. So let me set him up. Some of you were set up. What was meant for you to be a fugitive was meant for a divine encounter. You are about to run to the mountains of God. To men, you are running away from men. But to God, you are running to your father. You are about to have an encounter that will change your life, will change your destiny, and will change your ministry forever. Somebody shout, glory! The whole army in Egypt were after Moses, but the host of heaven were waiting for him on the mountain of fire. And after he had an encounter with the host of heaven on the mountain of fire, he descended, and the armies of Pharaoh were nowhere to be found. You are coming back with glory. You are coming back. What was meant, I said, what was meant, the wisdom of God is carrying you, and you are coming back. Yes, did Moses kill? Yes, he killed. Did you truly make that mistake? Yes, you did. There's nothing we can justify, but unknown to many men is that it was a setup. However God set up, he is sovereign. I have said here several times, the mercy and the grace of God is sovereign. Hey, nobody can justify why God should choose you. Forget about what you think you have done wrong. Nobody can justify why God should choose you and not choose you. His choice is sovereign. It is beyond the understanding and the comprehension of men. Those who think that they should even be chosen or have fault and problem, give them that ounce of opportunity and see how a mess they will be. Give them that opportunity and see and see how a mess they will be. Moses, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that what was burning in the heart of Moses was that he had encountered the Holy One. Moses encountered Christ whilst he was in the house of Pharaoh. Is God able to show up in the place of fetish priest? Yes, he can. He's sovereign.
My God.
Somebody say he can. He's sovereign.
He can. He's sovereign.
Hallelujah. He's sovereign. Hebrews, if the scripture is just go there, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 21, and tell me. Madu bala bala baraba 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 laba meyata la baraba 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 jaba bala baraba baraba bayaba baraba baraba katila barua katandalaba. You should open your mouth and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. There is an encounter of wisdom coming. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 11, 23 to 29. He said that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure because he was looking ahead to his reward. He says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because the Bible says, look, 27. He persevered because he saw him who is invincible. Moses had an encounter. There is an encounter in your heart. You can't explain it. You can't describe it. You can't explain to your colleagues why you have that encounter. But it is the wisdom of God at work that is driving you. The wisdom of God is so strange. It's so strange. I pray for you. The wisdom of God that is strange is coming upon you. Every form of setback against you in the marriage, in your childbearing, in your ministry, in your finances, whatever you are going through, that is a setback. If you rise up in the now, it is part of the manifold wisdom of God. You have to understand that the manifold wisdom of God follows after these orders. You have to be ready to enjoy the grace of this grace. There is a grace of this grace. When it comes upon a person, don't laugh at him. He's only a seed in the tomb. For only 4 days, Jesus is on his way because he permitted it so. The Bible says that another man that the wisdom of God found right so that he'll be found in the glory of God, called Lazarus. The Bible says that when he was sick, Jesus declared that the sickness is not unto death. I declare unto you, anything that you are going through on this platform, tonight of supernatural encounter, the expectation of men that you be locked up in the grave shall not materialize, because the one who is called the resurrection and the life is on his way, and in no than 2 days' time he shall hit Bethany and the tomb will be open. I open your tomb in the mighty name of Jesus. I open that tomb of disgrace in the name of Jesus. I open that tomb with a stench in the name of Jesus. I open that tomb with a stigma of the man that was dead. Lazarus had a stigma. Even the family members of Lazarus didn't want Jesus to open his tomb, because they said that he had an offensive stench. Look, there are times, your family members will resist your freedom. Why? Because they think that you are so disgraceful that if they allow it, you will bring a disgrace to the family. You don't have a good testimony amongst your family members, but there is deliverance on the way. Jesus said that this sickness is unto glory. Glory is manufactured in the grave, in the tomb of disgrace. There is a form of disgrace that has rubbed on many men, but what they didn't know is that there is a manifold wisdom of God. You must convert the manifold wisdom of God, that is a disgrace, into the gracious glory of God. It must be converted. You must see that. You must see that and wake up in whatever you are going through in this season of your life. You must wake up and say to God, God, this is not for the glory of the enemy. This is not a disgrace, but this is for your grace. This is for your glory in the mighty name. You must shout that. You must know. You must know, and you must wake up. Every rejection, every betrayal, anything that you are going through, that look, the Bible says I call something according to the grace of God and his wisdom. I call it the destiny navigation system of God. How does it work? In the domain of man, if you sit in a sat-nav, whenever a sat-nav gets to a location where there is no way, it does what it calls recalibration. God does spiritual recalibration. Hallelujah. And most of you, where you hit a deadlock, there is a recalibration going on. God is turning back and realigning your destiny so that he will bring you to a place of glory.
Amen.
Somebody shout glory.
Glory.
Finally, so that we go into prayer. Glory. Finally, the wisdom of God at work. Look, I've said that anytime there is prophetic messages, every prophetic message that is in order in the ordinances of God is enforced by the wisdom of God. You can't fulfill the divine prophetic messages of God or word of God. Prophetic words are revealing your destiny that is already hidden. Now, what you need to understand is that when prophetic messages go like are spoken, then that means that the wisdom of God must find a way to bring it to pass. So anytime men of God speak prophetically, they give an assignment to the wisdom of God. Are you listening? So you, if you want to be part of God's prophetic message, it's not about the most anointed person. It's not about the most able person. It is about the most humble person who has the listening ear to be able to fall in alignment and obedience. This is why Jesus said that anybody that listens to the word and do, that's it. He's likened to a wise master builder. There are some that are listening to the word of God, but they are not wise builders. They just want to put up something so that people will see. Remember that the one that is not a wise master builder, in the parable that Jesus spoke, his building was erected. It had glory. People saw it, but when the storms of life came, it sank. Don't worry when you are falling in alignment in obedience to the word of God. It might delay, it might be difficult, it might carry suffering, it might not finish like what your brother finished first, whatever, but it will stand the test of time and it will gloriously stand. The Bible says that there were four leprous men by the gate of Samaria, and a powerful man of God. Somebody say a powerful man of God.
A powerful man of God.
Yes. A powerful man of God spoke, and he said that he spoke to Moreau. He changed the order of Moreau and said that Moreau, hear the word of God. And Moreau listened. And when Moreau listened to the word of God, what happened is that the word of God actually went out, and the wisdom of God was at work. Do you know the people that the wisdom of God was able to use? Not an anointed soldier. not another. Even the man of God that prophesied didn't know how the wisdom of God was going to bring this to pass. But what happened was that the power of God stepped out there and found four leprous men with disability, inability to accomplish the things that men do not. Look, if these leprous men dare tell them that they were sitting outside of the wall, if they dare make even room to, oh, King, we think we have a solution. If they are not careful, they will even be eaten alive, though they have leprosy. What do you know? One thing, from what was going on in Samaria, what even saved this man's life in their disability was that leprosy was not supposed to be touched. Your disgrace can be your preservation. You didn't hear me. Most of you, what do you think is a disgrace is a way God is preserving you, your life. And
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God.
Your disgrace is your preservation.
Oh, yes. Thank you, man of God.
Yeah. These four leprous men, if they were not careful and they were found in the city, possibly something will happen to them. Possibly, because there were women that were eating their own children. But they were preserved by the gate of. And you know what? In their quest to encounter or face the dire consequences of their life, they had encounter with the wisdom of God. The Bible says that when they decided to march into the camp of the Syrians, the Bible says that for the Lord had caused their foot to sound like two armies that have come together. How does this work if this is not the wisdom of God at work? Four leprous men, I've come to speak to you that your disability is God's enablement. I've come to speak to you that
yes!
does not give God any limitation. I've come to speak to you that the wisdom of God is looking for somebody amongst the weak so that he will show his power strong. Look, the army that was there by the Syrians have kept this city 3 years under siege. Do you know what it means to keep a city 3 years under siege? That means that the army you brought was mighty. How does it take four leprous men to cause such army to flee? Not even fight with them. They flee. That means that what they heard was so terrible in their heart that they couldn't even. There was no brave man amongst them. There shall not be any brave man in the camp of your enemy when your time is ripe. There shall not be any brave man in the camp of your opposition. God is fighting for you.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. I want you to lift up your wherever you are, unmute yourself and begin to pray. By your mercy, give me
wisdom.
Thank you so much. Rock by the Lord,